Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show. He is back, Dr. Joel Schultz, a.k.a. Chief Joel Schultz. He likes to keep us guessing, so thanks for being back on the show, Doctor. Appreciate it. Also, Chief Newt, or, you know, our newest addition. He started last week, but Chief Ralph O'Nellis, and thank you so much for being back on the show, Chief. Appreciate it. Captain Brett Bartlett, low on the totem pole for rank. Apologize that for that, Brett. I will try to stack it better next time where you're at the top. And but thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Goals at Goals.com. Also, ComplianttechnologiesTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We also have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeGuardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, if you need recruits at your agency and you want to hire them the right way where they'll actually stay and you can retain them, safeguardrecruiting.com is the way to go. And they also are our streaming sponsor, allowing us to stream to over 1 million followers right now during the live show. We also have twobells.com. They built their new online store at leoroundtable.com. You can get the mug that the Chief's got in his hand right now, or like the shirt that I'm wearing. We got all kinds of cool gear. We don't charge anything extra for it. We don't make a dime off of that stuff, so we're just trying to get our gear out there. So check that out, leoroundtable.com, online store, upper right corner. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. We also have Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And guys, we got a lot of stuff that we're going to be covering. But, you know, first, I'm going to go ahead, before I read off on what everything is that we're going to be covering, I want to start off with our main topic. You know, they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. And this one is from cityjournal.org. And listen to this. Now, this is really, look, a lot of our stories, for whatever reason, sometimes this happens, Texas. Texas is going to be a dominant theme for our show today. So in this one, written by Thomas, it looks like Hogan, Austin's progressive prosecutor who won't prosecute. I see we got a thumbs down from Brett on this one. So listen to this. I'm only going to touch the top of this because he's got a lot of names in here. And I know this article was written to concentrate on Austin, Texas, but it's worthy of a discussion. So according to our article, American voters experimented with progressive district attorneys, so progressive DAs, and they saw crime increase. And then they rejected these soft on crime prosecutors. Their political defenestration was a coast-to-coast phenomenon. And so it talks about Chesa Boudin in San Francisco. Then we got George Gascon. That was L.A., right? Mike Schmidt, he's in Portland, you know, the armpit of the country. Pamela Price in Oakland. I think it's a runoff between Oakland and Portland, you know, for being the armpit. And then we got Beth McCann in Denver, Kim Fox in Chicago, Kimberly Gardner in St. Louis, Marilyn Mosby in Baltimore. I threw in Andrew Warren in Tampa, Florida, because he got replaced by the by the governor. He got booted. But the list keeps growing. Surprisingly, crime is coming down in some of those places because they're opting out of progressive non-prosecution. There are still a few holdouts, according to the article. One of the most prominent is in typically law and order Texas, Jose Garza, the Travis County District Attorney, whose jurisdiction includes Austin. And then the story goes down this rabbit hole where we're learning all kinds of stuff about what Garza's office is doing and the mistakes they're making. I read a story on there about a murderer getting off because they did not exculpatory evidence. You know, they didn't reveal the evidence to the other side. And because they'd already convened a jury, they had to drop the charges. And then the whole double jeopardy rule came in. And so this dude is going to, you know, if he's guilty, he's going to get away with murder. So this is kind of the stuff, and this is what happens. We were talking about DEI before the show started, because Brett was talking about Disney, but you know, when you get prosecutors like this, and I read Jose Garza's pedigree, basically his resume, and he was a former public defender. He was not qualified for this job. He was even backed by George Soros at to get in the office. So, but I think it's worthy of talking about these progressive DAs or state attorneys. Chief Ralph, the floor is yours.
Well, first of all, I'm glad to be here with you, the guest, and the audience. I got to tell you, you know, it's truly tragic what some of these district attorneys done. And I look at California with Chase Boudin, his connection that nexus to the underground with his parents and Bill Ayers. I look at George Gascon in California, what they have done. And George Gascon was the author of Prop 47, which minimized drug and petty theft. You know, he increased it to $999 for a petty theft. So, you know, when I was a chief at Westminster, we were having victims, store owners come in and say, the same guy has come in five times in a week, you know, because he didn't reach that one level of $999. We all know, all of us at this audience right now and the guests, is that when you have weak district attorneys that don't have the intestinal fortitude and knowledge to really truly prosecute these cases, you know what happens. It kills and it injures the community they think they're going to save by criminal justice reform. The Black and Latino communities, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, and I got to tell you right now, it's despicable. I relieve the floor to Joel and Brett.
All right, go. We guess so. Go ahead, guys. Jump in if you want on this one.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead, Joel.
Okay. You know, we have this prosecutorial immunity, which is virtually absolute, and there's good reason for that. I get it, but that does not cover. That only covers prosecution stuff. It doesn't cover administrative stuff, and it doesn't cover constitutional violations. Which, according to that article that Chip referred to. I think there are two problems that this prosecutor had. So there is some accountability. Mosley in Baltimore was sued, not successfully, but there was an action that moved forward in her case. The criminological background of these liberal prosecutors denies the fact that offenders are rational actors, that they do things because of their environment, their mental capacity. And they reject the old classic hedonistic calculus. Is the pleasure going to be worth the pain? And right now, for criminals in these areas that are not being held accountable, the pleasure exceeds the pain. They're going to continue to be bad actors because it's worth it.
Well, that makes sense, Brett.
I think the most benign thing we could accept, these prosecutors and their people actually believe that crime is a social issue and the police can't solve it, it's lower down. I could almost go, all right, let's talk about that. But I don't think that's what they believe. I think what they believe is they want chaos. They want disunity. And when there's so much chaos out there, they're the only ones that can come in and stop it, is what they'll tell everybody. So I think it has nothing to do with them being good people. I think they want uproar. I think they want burnt buildings. I think they want us on one side and somebody else on the other, because that plays into their communist manifesto. And yes, I did say that.
You know, along with Joel and Brett said, 263 cases that they had to dismiss from Jose Garza because of incompetence. You know, and some of those people got back out in the street and committed murder.
Right.
Yeah. And you know something? Here we go again. As both Joel and Brett has stated, they believe they're doing good from their perspective, from their philosophical approach, criminal justice reform. But they're actually injuring the communities that they're supposed to protect by prosecuting these cases. And I got to be honest with you. I've interviewed a lot of gang members when they got out in L.A. after I retired. And you can read a book. It's called The Black Hand. And one is Rene Boxer Enriquez. And he states in his book that these liberals don't realize we're predators. As much as they want to make us reform ourselves, we don't really want to, because it gives us power and also gives them money.
All right.
I want to remind you that Garza does prosecute, but he prosecutes cops.
That's true.
That's a good point. That's a good. Thanks for the clarification. Hey, guys, it's time for our first commercial break. So stick with us. It's going to get real good. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. De- delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz, Chief Ralph Vanellis, and also Captain Brett Bartlett. Thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. We've been talking about progressive DAs, and I'm curious, does anyone think the pendulum is swinging back? I mean, like, look, even here in Florida, we've even had our own, you know, everybody loves Ron DeSantis. You know what? It's so bad, and when I say bad, I mean good. It's so bad or good that even when I go to California now and people find out that I'm from Florida, they want to talk about how great Ron DeSantis is, because they've seen, even like in Carmel by the sea, where I'm getting ready to go back to, they love Ron DeSantis because, you know, they lost a lot of businesses over there from our fellow governor, and they wouldn't have been shut down if they would have had, you know, Ron DeSantis over there. And he got rid of, help me out, Brett, Sheriff Scott Israel. We had our state attorney, Andrew Warren, who was really like, you know what? The joke was, and I'm talking about from prosecutors that I know with the Hillsborough County, with that 13th Judicial Circuit, that they said, hey, we basically have two public defenders in Tampa. We've got Julianne Holt and we got Andrew Warren. He's a state attorney, but he acts like a freaking public defender, you know. And then there was the one in Orlando, the black female that he got rid of, the state attorney over there. I can't remember her name, though, but he got rid of her.
She was the wife of the police chief in Orlando.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of them very liberal.
So yeah, we've been having to get rid of them over here, too. But I know, Ralph, you were getting ready to say something about that.
No, I mean, you're right. Look at San Francisco. Look at Gascon got, overwhelmingly, Hoshman won the election. And I believe that the community, even the minority community, wants strong law enforcement, even though the media does not portray that if you watch all the legacy media. But I'll tell you right now, they want strong law enforcement. The problem is some of the leaders in L.A. County, in law enforcement, they're kind of strangled by the board of supervisors and the mayor too. So that makes it very difficult. And the last thing too, the governor has not funded Prop 36, which is overwhelmingly voted in to reverse Prop 47 laws.
So you're still over there in California, right?
Yeah, I'm in Huntington Beach, but I'm in Orange County. We have a very strong district attorney, Spitzer, who put posters up on the border between Orange County and LA County. It says, you come into Orange County, we will prosecute you to the letter of the law on petty theft and all those certain crimes that were in Prop 47.
Wow. All right. I love it. Final words, gentlemen, before we move on.
I tell you, Chip, we have about a year and a half left to make this all stick. You know, the midterm elections are going to be the tipping point. If we don't get through that well, then this little experiment we've been trying under Trump is just not going to work anymore. And don't think the bad guys have given up just because Trump's there. Look, they're killing people. They're killing people because we won. So we cannot change their minds even through prosecution, only by outvoting them.
You know, and I would say, too, that this is not just a metro problem. I live in an isolated area of southern Colorado, and across the mountain from us where I used to live and where I was last police chief, they actually recalled a very liberal prosecutor because he was doing the same kinds of things that some of these metro scandalous prosecutors were doing. This is a population of less than 60,000 over five or six counties, and they booted him. So we all need to be vigilant.
Good commentary. I'm thinking that the pendulum, people are starting to realize, you know, what's going down, and I see the pendulum swing. I just hope that, like Brett said, we got to get this traction, because you're right. After 2 years, we could lose one of the houses and things could start switch around. So we've got to do some damage control.
There are no less crazy liberals out there than when Trump started. There are more. all we can do is invigorate the middle. The extreme right, the extreme left, we don't have to convince them. It's the people in the middle, the unvoting middle, that we need to move our direction. That's the only way.
Yeah, but we're still. I mean, they're by far they're not the majority, but they are.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But they're willing to go out there and dye their hair pink and confront ISOFs. That's what they're willing to do.
And we've still got.
They're willing to die.
And we've still got officers in jail that shouldn't be, and financially ruined, and careers ruined that shouldn't be because of some of these policies. So I hope we don't forget those POWs of law enforcement.
I get it. You're right.
I agree.
Some of us have already have almost been those. So I agree. Hey guys, you know, we're getting we got a good fan base here. Happy birthday, Sergeant George, just watching the show. We got MVS from Northwest Colorado. And of course, Betty Dunn, Gary Gilkey, who's responsible for us getting on radio. So Gary, great to see you. He migrated. He left Florida for Texas. I like to see it the other way around. But yeah, Gary's over there and in Texas now. Sally Francis Ford, and we've got some great people on. We got a new guy named Brett Bartlett that logged in. So Brett, how in the world can you do that? You're like multitasking today. You must have got some an estrogen thing going, because usually just women can multitask like that. That's pretty impressive.
When this brain is so, I can't even touch right here because it's hot. It's just ow. Crap.
Is that what it is?
So much good. Yeah. It's a solar collector. I won't tell you what for, but it's a solar collector for a machine.
All right. Well, look, globalordnancenews.com. I thank God man's planned ambush against Texas deputies thwarted with automatic rifle jams. Now they say automatic rifle. They usually mean semi-auto. These automatic rifles, it's kind of rare, or maybe he's got a trigger or bump stock or whatever. So I'm kind of curious what the rifle is, because normally you're not going to have automatic rifles out there. I'm talking about full auto. But Humble, Texas, a man with a rifle and plenty of ammunition waited in the woods. Now, this is a wake-up call for everybody out there, not just deputies, but cops too. He waited in the woods to shoot deputies, but his planned ambush fell short when his gun ended up jamming, and this is according to Texas authorities. So I've only got a few minutes to get this out, but deputies responded to a call in Humble early on Tuesday, September the 23rd, came under fire as they arrived. Harris County Sheriff's Office Sheriff Ed Gonzalez said this in a post on X, formerly Twitter. Goes on to say that the shooter, identified as a 47-year-old named Kenyon Lavore Coleman, opened fire with an automatic rifle, they say, but the volley suddenly stopped and the rifle jammed and he was unable to get it clear. He retreated further into the woods. Deputies pursued him, arrested him. They didn't shoot and kill him. Stick with us, guys. I'll get to the rest of the story in a minute. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped officers, well, over 250,000 deployments, and guess what? They've had no injuries or deaths. How's that for a stat? They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove of Compliant Technologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3. The hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies.com, and watch those cool videos. You'll be glad that you did. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by Chief Joel Schultz, Chief Ralph Ornelas, and we've got Captain Brett Bartlett. Thanks for being on the show, guys. We left off talking about a story from globalordnancenews.com. I thank God man's planned ambush against Texas deputies thwarted when an automatic rifle jams. And so we left off talking about the shooter. They identified him as 47 years old. I'm not going to give his name out. That's what he wants. But he opened fires with an automatic rifle, they say, and the volley stops when it jams, according to the sheriff. And so the bad guy retreats in the woods. Deputies pursue, arrest him. Our bad guy was prepared to fight, according to the sheriff. He said that he was dressed in all black, had plenty of ammo. He even had a beach camping chair set up. I don't know. I don't know the tactical part of that one, but his weapon jammed before he was able to hit anyone. According to Sheriff Gonzalez, he said, "I thank God no deputies were hurt." Our bad guy was arrested on charge of aggravated assault against a police officer. And in the post, Sheriff Gonzalez said that it appears as though the initial call of the service was a possible fake or swatting call. The sheriff's office later said that a fake call that was actually received that day was actually unrelated to the bad guy, according to KTRK. And officials have not said what motivated the ambush. And Humble, where this thing happened, it's a 20-mile drive northeast from downtown Houston. So we're still in Texas. So, Brett, commentary on the shoot.
Well, listen, remind me next time I'm going to do that. Dress in black, get a chair, but make sure I bring the dust cover for my AK-47, because apparently if that's a picture of that particular weapon, he had left the dust cover for the AK at home. And, of course, you're just if that's the picture, you're just inviting a jam. You know, that should be on your checkbox, your checklist. Bring the dust cover for my AK so it doesn't get nasty and jam. What a maroon.
Maroon. Nothing about body armor. I was expecting to see that. We have two more.
Listen, it doesn't matter if your AK jams.
Well, I guess you're right. It's a good point. Yeah, good point. Good point. Gentlemen, we got two open mics. Go ahead and jump in.
Well, I want to ask Brett. So you think that was an AK? I couldn't tell from the little snippet. I'm not a firearms expert.
If that was the picture of the thing, yeah, it was some form of, you know, no telling where it came from. But the dust cover. Now an AK will fire without the dust cover on it, but it just, that's why it's there, to keep all the junk out, keep all the dirt and crap out. So I don't know. Maybe it fell off, but it's not in the picture.
Well, I was going to say, a lot of these high-profile shootings lately, I think, are probably choking some of the gun control advocates, because they have not been the AR-15 assault weapon platform. They've been, you know, long guns or handguns and 306 or whatever, or 30-06 right, or whatever. Right, and so they're not typically guns that people want to restrict, you know, in the headlines. So I think that's been interesting. I do think if the feds will make a law that says it's unlawful to write things on your cartridge, that would cut down on some of this violence.
Hey, Brett, you know more about AK-47, but usually what I've heard from some of my Marine friends, AK-47s, you could put them through mud and they shouldn't jam up. I mean, is that true or not? I mean,
well, they shouldn't, but at the same time, they're just they're a mechanical device subject to, you know, to damage. So I don't know why his jam. Maybe it's just a piece of crap gun. Maybe it was dirty. I don't know. But you're right about that. And having owned one for many years, I can tell you they're very reliable. But I have not field tested mine in the mud and stuff. And the only reason I got it was to hold it up on Facebook and tell people, I know you don't want me to have this, yet here it is.
So you know, Brett and Joel and Chip, last week we talked about a shooting a long distance in a rural area. Once again, I believe there needs to be so much more training for some of the officers in these rural areas, because, I mean, we saw last week, Chip, in that one film footage where long distance, the officer was taking fire and one got shot and stuff. I really prayed more effective training for these officers out in these rural areas, because I think a lot of these people, like this incident right now in Texas, they're going to do more of this stuff if they got some axe to grind.
Well, here's the problem, Joel. I'm sorry, Ralph. Here's the problem. You can even if you have training, it doesn't mean that a majority of your officers are going to turn into warriors. It just, every agency is every agency, different faces, different names. They got people out there, cops, they're carrying a gun because they have to carry a gun. I believe this because I've been training a long time. The number of officers who are meat eaters as opposed to grass eaters, I'm saying they're 5% of an agency. And you can officer training all you want, and it doesn't matter. But again, we don't offer enough training. Here in Florida, police officers only have to requalify once every 2 years, shooting 38 rounds at a target that's not trying to kill him. And a lot of agencies, especially small, that's all they give. So they're not prepared for the gunfight.
No, I agree. And also, I'd like to throw this premise out and see what Joel says, and Chip, and also you, Brett. You know, I also think it goes back to what the agencies are recruiting. I mean, I remember when I was back in the early, mid-80s, being a staff instructor, we would go into a lot of the separations of Air Force, Army, Marine, Navy, and stuff like that. And I know a lot of times they're kind of backing away from that because some agencies don't want an assertive police officer. So I throw that at you, Joel, and you know, the two other members on this panel.
Well, I want to wrap this up, guys, because we don't spend that much time on update articles, so we're already over time. But go ahead and let you answer that real quick, and then we'll move on to, we got two videos we want to cover real quick.
I think what a quit hiring college graduates to start hiring blue-collar workers.
And I tell you, that 7.62 round's a nasty round. Whew, I'd rather be hit by a 5.56 or 2.23, but yeah. Hey guys, rumble.com. This is Butter. Armed shoplifter fatally struck by Pueblo police truck during a foot pursuit. Chief Schultz, how close are you to Pueblo?
About a 40-minute drive.
All right.
Actually, you had Chief Noller on the show the day after that happened.
Oh, is
the
that
actual
right?
Incident. Yeah, they just released a video though.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, the Pueblo Police Department, guys, this story is from rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. But this is one of those videos you're going to want to see. So if you're listening to the show audibly, your favorite podcast or radio station, please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we're going to describe in great detail what happened in the video so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if there's a video that we talk about you want to see, and I'm telling you in advance that this is going to be one of those videos without a doubt. All you have to do is go to the Rumble channel the very next day. So our show is live Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And the next day, Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning, producer Will, he'll grab a copy of the live show. He'll embed every video we talk about it as we talk about it. Pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. And that goes up at 9 o'clock the very next morning. Again, 9 o'clock Eastern time, Tuesday through Saturday. So in this one, Pueblo, Colorado, the department releases the video of this deadly interaction between the police department and a shoplifting suspect, but he's an armed shoplifting suspect.
You want to get tased? Drop the gun! Drop the gun now! Drop it! Drop your gun! Tommy's got a gun. He pulled a gun out on me. Drop the gun! Headed south across the grass. Careful, guys. He's got that gun in his hand. Drop your gun! We're headed up Leon's Comm towards CDA office. Still got a gun in his hand. Drop your gun now! Drop it! Drop it! He's walking now, Comm, but we have no cover out here.
Get out of the way! Get out of the way!
You want me to hit him?
He's going to that car!
I'm gonna hit him.
It happened in June. So this newly released video and dash cam, it shows the moments leading up to the officer ramming the suspect with the vehicle. I think it was an SUV. It was a truck. Yeah, the black truck. That's why I was going to ask Dr. Schultz if he had a black truck, because it kind of looked like him driving it. But the video starts off with police chasing the suspect, who's Antonio Herrera. And this dude's on foot. After they get a shoplifting call at Famous Footwear, of all places. I hope he got some good footwear. It looked like the footwear was pretty good. He was making out pretty good, but you can't outrun the truck. During the pursuit, you can hear police shouting repeatedly, the suspect, you know, had a gun and they dropped the gun. And then, look, there's video showing pedestrians that are like in a parking lot. The dude's running across the field. The officer giving chase with his gun out even remarks on radio that, dude, I got like no cover. And there's two cops that are in a truck chasing this dude, and he's running towards a mall that actually has like a Colorado State Police station in it too. But he's running toward, and I'm thinking to myself, he's getting closer, and he's getting almost to the point to where the truck can't do anything about it. And you're watching body cam and dash cam, and you see that the driver of the truck, they're aware of the backdrop. They're trying to put themselves at an angle to where if they do shoot this guy, or if there's a shootout and they want to return fire, they're not going to be shooting into the mall parking lot where there's people, cars, and all that crap. So they were very cognizant of that fact. And sure enough, when he's getting close to a car and it's just like the last moment, the guy driving says, dude, I'm going to freaking hit him. He hits the gas. And you see the bad guy look up and he just nothing he can do. And they hit it. That gun goes flying out of his hand. That dude, he's done. He's toast. He's dead. He does not survive that encounter. Chief Schultz.
I just want to say deadly force is deadly force. And I think I've seen a lot of videos where I'm thinking, yeah, bump the guy. You've got the capacity. You don't have to put the car in park, get out, you know, draw your weapon. You got a weapon. You're driving one.
Yeah, a little $4,000 or $5,000 little bump there. Yeah. I'm thinking at least 2 ton for that truck. Captain Brett.
Here's what I would say. If you're going to get killed on camera by a police truck and you throw your gun up in the air, don't let it be a high point. Give us a little better. You know, if you want to live forever, don't throw a high point up in the air right as you're being killed by a police truck who's chasing you for being an idiot.
Yeah, it would have jammed anyhow.
Well, up in the air, they stopped it and they drew a circle around the high point. Oh my gosh, stop it. At least have a Sig Sauer, and that way, you know, the bad guy could argue, hey, it went off by itself. I don't believe that, but that would be his argument.
Yeah, high points. When I worked in the firearms unit, we ever got a high point. Yeah, not too great of a reputation for that gun. Hey, guys, we're coming up on our third commercial break. We're still accepting weigh-ins for the free $50 Galls gift card. If you type in the word Galls, G-A-L-L-S, give us your email address if you haven't won in the last 90 days. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. And, you know, and Brett Bartlett's going to be, you know, part of this as well. You know, these things, if you're not prepared or you don't know what you're doing, you can get injury, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become, like Brett knows, a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and Gunlearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And listen to this. The founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. If you're a chief or a sheriff, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz, Chief Ralph Ornelas, and also Captain Brett Bartlett. And we just got done talking about a use of force where we had a bad guy became a hood ornament for a police truck. Guys, any more commentary on that? I mean, I think it shows that, you know, like Brett said, deadly force is deadly force, and whatever tool you have available. And there are times when your vehicle can become the lethal force or deadly weapon of choice. There's no risk to the people in the backdrop that are at the shopping center because you don't have to worry about your projectile being fired, ricocheting, or going half a mile or a quarter of a mile down the road and killing somebody. These guys were spot on. I think that they've been watching our show, and that's why they decided to use the truck, you know, for the deadly force encounter. Chief Ralph, what do you think?
I think it fell right into Graham versus Connor. I mean, you know, the severity is also immediate threat. And the suspect, I think his name was Antonio Herrera, he was trying to evade arrest. And, you know, it fell into that, into the Graham versus Connor. And now, the only thing is, this day and age, 2025, you know, people got Barnes versus Felix. You know, they just put that case law out too. You know, maybe used by the department as a training to evaluate the tactics, which you should always do in any incident later on. You do a review, a debrief of a shooting or an incident. That's paramount to me, to learn from things that you had previous incidents.
Well, I was waiting for them. They did the zoom of the gun, like Brett pointed out, it was a high point. I just wanted them to zoom in on the shoes because, you know, the shoes did not deliver. I mean, he went through a lot. He went to a shoe store, he shoplifts the shoes. They didn't work, Brett. They underperformed.
They're probably Skechers, which is more for support than speed. So yeah.
You think? Okay. That would explain a lot.
People have asked me over the years, Chip, why do you carry a pistol? And I say, because my Ford F-150 won't fit in my holster.
Cars are great. I'm telling you, cars are great options. And so this is great that cops are watching this, and because it gets people thinking. Because there are times, you know, or maybe the bad guy's distracted and he's aware of a cop in front of him. And, you know, you get bad guys get tunnel vision and tunnel hearing, too.
Well, he's got a deadly force threat. He's authorized to use deadly force, certainly in Florida. So it's a great point. What, you know, it's better to hit the guy with your truck rather than stop the truck, step out of the truck, leave your cover. Hell, he's got two and a half tons of cover. Yeah. Right there. And then he covered the bad guy, but that's a different use of the word cover.
All right. We got another one here in the wings, guys. Rumble.com. This is Butter LASD. So we're back in Chief Ralph's neck of the woods before we jump back to Texas. Deputy fatally shoots a suspect who charges at a deputy with not one, but with two. Now Ralph, this is your agency, right? The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Okay. I got to make sure I got that right.
I hear screaming.
Sheriff's Department! Hey,
so we are in Hacienda Heights, California. And so the L.A. County Sheriff's Department deputies, they shoot and kill an assault suspect, Raymond Flores. He's 57 years old. And it happened in Hacienda Heights on Thursday. The shooting happened around 4:00 p.m. It happened at a home, according to the agency. So deputies respond to a home after reports that this guy was assaulting a woman with a knife. And when they get there, they hear screaming from inside the home. Wow. So the deputies, they go into the house. They see this guy. He's armed with two large knives. That's when they shoot him. Paramedics take the guy to the hospital. He later dies, and no one else was injured, including the woman. So when I go to my show notes on this, because the story doesn't really tell you everything. As deputy, it's a 911 call. The woman, this guy's assaulting the woman with a knife. At 2 minutes and 36 seconds, deputies, they kick in the front door. They kind of leave that out in the story. And then shots are fired at 2:43. Now, the suspect at that point, he came in the view. It was like a hallway leaving the bedroom where the woman was screaming at. And he's running at the cops, and he has freaking two knives in his hand. And then they got a slow motion freeze frame with a zoom. I love technology. And this is when you need it, because the naked eye, you just can't. There's so many things you just miss. And it's amazing when you're the officer, you know, your brain, you just slow things down and you notice all this stuff, but they do it great for the civilians. And even some of us just watching it, they slow it down for us so we can see. And then the shooting, they show it on a second body worn camera as well at 3:41. So Chief Ralph, your take on this.
Well, first of all, I want to commend the RTO, the extracting information on the call for service. We don't talk enough about those people. That information is critical when you go to court on a allegedly a wrongful death. That's stating, number one. Number two, I like the fact that when they arrived, they kept on Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Department, Sheriff's Department announcing. Then you hear on the video, on the body one camera, you hear screaming in the background on the 1-2 side of the building, right? And they communicate with each other. Hey, I'm going in. He kicks the door. Now, maybe could have held at the door instead of going in. It didn't matter, because I think once that guy heard it, he's going to approach them the way he did. I understand I did some homework. There was a third deputy with less than lethal, but unfortunately, the lead deputy who kicked the door got into first. He was the number one man. Number two man was the guy. Number three man had a less than lethal. I think he had a 44 millimeter. And guess what? The guy comes out with the two knives. That point in time is less than 10 feet away, I believe. They had to do what they had to do, and I think it's a clean shooting. I talked to Lieutenant Viscara, who was mentioned in the write-up. I know him. I put him through the academy. I think it's a good shooting from my perspective, evaluating hundreds of shootings during my time in the career.
Now, I know Brett's big in the using vehicles. I'm thinking maybe a little golf cart. They could have used like a police golf cart or, you know, one of those little, you know, they could have fit that through the hallway and taken that guy out too, Brett. That's just what I'm thinking.
Or they could have said, hey, I understand that you're triggered and I'm about to give you some trigger.
No, you're right. Ooh. You're right. Hey, guys, I want to move on, if you guys don't mind, because we've only got like less than three and a half minutes left. And there's two things I want to cover real quick, because there is that smelling story I want to get to. I do want to briefly just mention the two Mexican nationals at RVMnews.com. They're charged after strangling a female Border Patrol agent. And this is back in Houston, a lot of things in Houston. So federal authorities in Houston, they announced multiple arrests. But anyhow, we've got this. These Mexican nationals appeared before a magistrate. So they caught the dudes, Judge Richard Bennett in Houston, on charges connected with assault of a female Border Patrol agent. They give the guy's names. That's not important. They're 29 and 23 years old. But she encountered the men earlier in the week. They determined they were in the country illegally, placed them in custody in flex cuffs. She secured them in a Border Patrol vehicle for transport. And it looks like she's by herself. They go into the detention facility at a red light. Or one of the bad guys wraps his arm around her neck and he starts to choke her. The other one escapes the vehicle, and then this guy releases her and he flees on foot. And so they're throwing the book at him. They face 20 years in prison for this. So, wow. Quick commentary on this one, Chief Schultz.
Just for the civilians, we hear a lot about ICE. They're for interior kind of, and Border Patrol is right on the border. That's if people have some confusion about that. But I think one of the things, the background of this story is it points out the humanitarian efforts of the Border Patrol. They're catching these smugglers and people packed into boxes and some really dangerous characters. So appreciate their work. They're real cops.
Chief Ralph?
You know, the only one thing is I look at all incidents as a training opportunity.
Okay.
I'm concerned. Was this female Border Patrol officer, did she flex cuff him in front or back? That's a concern of mine. And I would hope that after the incident, the supervisor could review that, because use it not to degrade the lady, but to help, again, reinforce proper tactics when taking somebody in custody.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Guys, finally, TampaFreePress.com, TampaFP.com. South Carolina school, you know where I'm going. South Carolina school, a pooper intendant arrested for deploying a fecal-scented spray. So a bizarre case of foul play is concluded when the arrest of a West Florence High School teaching assistant, this guy, Alexander Paul Robertson Lewis, he's only 32. He's facing charges after investigators allege he repeatedly sprayed a foul fecal-scented substance inside the school, causing significant disruption and damage. I was surprised about the damage. So the Florence County Sheriff's Office said that this odor plagued the school. It, apparently, it was going on for months. August and September, they pay over $55,000 in repair costs. A lot of it was for the air conditioning system trying to figure out what it was, and they arrest this dude September the 19th. He's being held in a detention center, charged with disturbing schools as a non-student, a malicious injury to property, $10,000 or more. The investigation is still ongoing. They haven't ruled out additional charges. And anyhow, wow. What do you guys think about that? It's pretty creative, I'm thinking. Pretty creative. Oh, come on, Brett. Come on. You wish you would have thought of that. If Brett and I were in school together in high school, you would have been reading about him and I in this story instead of this dude.
What it does say was how he got caught. That's what I want to know.
That is a good point.
Snitch him out?
Yeah. You know, what starts off as what you would think a harmless prank, you know. Chief Schultz, don't think I didn't see that microphone go off and then you closed it again. I saw you open up. You wanted to engage on this. We're going to go overtime just to hear what Chief Schultz has to say on this one.
I'm just going to say most malodorous things that come out of education comes from the board of directors.
that's a good point. Hey, another.
I want to know if he wrote anti-ice on the can that he was spraying it around.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, see, we should have started off with the story, because I can tell you guys want to say a lot more about it. Hey, another fantastic show. Thank you so much, Chief Joel Schultz, Chief Ralph Ornelas. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett. Thank you guys so much. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And they just wrapped up the summit yesterday. And so please, if you're looking for a good place to support, a good nonprofit that's not going to embarrass you, consider the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. But thanks to Gauls.com, Compliance Technologies.com, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, and twobells.com. Don't forget the Gauls discount code radio15 to get 15% off. Thanks for the support. We'll see you back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.